You'd like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 117. Psalm 117, only two verses in this psalm. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. We are looking tonight at the matter of glorifying God. And the first way that we are speaking of glorifying God is by praising him. Now here in this two-verse psalm, it begins with praise the Lord. If you were to look at Psalm 106, 111, 112, 113, they all begin with praise ye the Lord. This glorifies God, but they are not the only ones. They are merely the ones that are close by location to Psalm 117. There are probably another 8 or 9 that I found just flipping through the Psalms that say, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And those are the ones that begin that way. And then there are others that have within the verses of the Psalm an instruction to praise the Lord. For certain, we will glorify God by praising him. It's a clear instruction given to us. But let's go to the New Testament now. Matthew chapter 5. You will all be familiar with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and, what's the next word? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we glorify God by praise, and we glorify God by good works. Now, good works can be looked at in the limited or restricted sense of the works that we do, the actions that we take being good works. Or I think you can look at that instruction of good works in a broader sense of good living. And so whether you look at it in the restricted sense of a specific action, a good work, like teaching Sunday school, okay, holding an office in the church, giving out gospel tracts, a good work, okay, or the broader sense of good living, however you look at it, it's going to glorify God. And we are not only instructed that, or we're not only taught here that it glorifies God, but we are instructed to do it so as to glorify God. And, you know, a lot of times people think, well, what can I do to serve God? You know, I don't have many talents, or I feel very limited in what I can do. No, listen, good works, good living, godly living, that glorifies God. And then in John chapter 15, still in the New Testament, as the rest of the references will be, John chapter 15, and we're going to look at this matter of fruit bearing. John 15, of course, begins in verse 1 with, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And he goes on with the whole theme of fruit and fruit bearing. And then he comes to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. What glorifies God? We're told very clearly that ye bear much fruit. Not just some fruit, but much fruit. We are expected to do our own maximum. Not your maximum, your own maximum. You see, it isn't that you would do what somebody else does, but that you would do what you can do, that God may be glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye, you, bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Being a disciple doesn't come just by claiming it. It comes by evidencing it. It's all right to claim it, that one's a disciple. But we need the evidence that it's so. And in the process, it will glorify God. And then the next thing we look at is in Romans chapter 15, the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 6. Romans chapter 15, verse 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual unity brings glory to God. States it very clearly here that ye may with one mind and one mouth. There needs to be a unity. There needs to be a harmony. We can't have one half of the church claiming one thing, another half of the church claiming another thing, and yet a third group, okay, claiming something else. No. I almost made a real error there. You can't have one half of the church claiming this, another half of the church claiming that, and then another half. There's only two halves. Caught myself on that one. But spiritual unity is a oneness that glorifies God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glorifying God by praise, glorifying God by good works, by fruit bearing. Now, what's fruit bearing? Well, righteousness, godliness would be fruit. And then, of course, there is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. That surely is fruit bearing. That our lives would be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of those that are instructed by the Apostle Paul. They glorify God. And of course, if we have the opposite of one of them, okay? Love, joy, peace. You know, there's no glorifying God by grumpiness. Huh? Okay? There's no glorifying God by sadness, unhappiness. Now I realize, depending on what we experience in life, there's going to be a sadness that accompanies that event. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our life being characterized with a lack of joy and happiness. And so fruit bearing. And then spiritual unity. We just saw that here in Romans 15. And then the last one is we glorify God by complete consecration. 1 Corinthians, next book of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? God owns us, not ourselves. Amen. God owns us. For ye are bought with a price. That's why God owns us. He paid the price. We took the gift of eternal life. We became his possession. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. The natural reaction or response to being a child of God is that we would glorify God. And he makes it very specific. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's not enough to simply say, well, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't this and I don't that. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, you see. You say, well, doesn't that glorify God when I don't drink and smoke? Yeah, if we're doing it in order to glorify God.
Amen.
If we're just doing it to be self-righteous, okay, or to be able to laud it before others, well, I'm a good Christian because I don't. We're not own. So too many people think they're a good Christian because of what they don't do. You know, the other side of that coin of being a good Christian is what we do. And it's important that there's some things we don't do, but it's equally important for the things that we ought to do. Those things that will glorify God in our body, but then there's also in our spirit. Okay, I got it down. I don't do this and I do that. Got that, got a handle on it. I don't do this and I do that. But inside, I don't, you know, I got bad attitude. I'm very judgmental toward somebody, but I don't say it. Oh, I don't say it, so that makes me wonderful. No, it doesn't. Okay, it doesn't. Because inside is what counts as well. And they got to match. They got to match. And so that's why I call it complete consecration. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Father in heaven, our desire indeed is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lead us, direct us, and show us, dear Father, what it is that you would desire from us.